Recorder. I've got the recorder. Okay, Tristan, this is you, man.
All right. So I guess one of our first questions would be, what was it like growing up here and going to the school, and what grades did it teach, and how long did you go to school here?
Jeez. Okay. Well, it was great because I only lived maybe 500 yards, so I could walk to school. It was also great because my mother was she cooked in the cafeteria, so I got free food. It was great because my grandfather was the head of the touchdown club, so I had like some legacy stuff going on there, and I think my mother was dating one of the teachers, so I don't really know exactly, but I went to school here from the first through the third grade, and the way the school was set up, it was from first to 12th grade.
Okay.
This room right here that you're sitting in front of was first, second, and third.
Gotcha.
And then the next room was fourth, fifth, and sixth. Gotcha. Next room was seventh, eighth, ninth. Okay. There's some double doors in the hallway there that divide that to the rest of the building. That's high school.
Oh.
So once you got past the double doors, it was high school.
Gotcha.
And did I answer?
Yeah, definitely. And did you have any favorite teachers?
Geez, from that young, you know what? Miss Rice and that, because it's really kind of weird because during that time, even though it was segregated, there were two white teachers here.
Gotcha.
Miss Rice and Miss Stiles.
Yeah.
And one was a librarian and the other one was, and Miss Mangum was one of my, and you know, they all taught multiple subjects, which is really kind of wild because most of the teachers were professors that went to school here. And they actually went to college at A&T and places like that when it was also still segregated.
Yeah.
And they had to live in houses off of the property of the schools because they weren't allowed to live on the campus.
Wow.
So they obtained their professorships going through all the hardship of the segregation and everything like that. Which was, one of them was Mr. Wilbur Eggleston, which was, he's in my family, one of my cousins, and he actually ended up teaching at Pisgah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, since then, as you grew up, did you keep in touch with any of your classmates here?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a stickler for. I keep in touch with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I mean, there's probably not anyone that I grew up with that I don't keep in touch with, and that even at Pisgah. When I graduated from Pisgah, all of my classmates I call, or now that Facebook is available, you can talk to everybody.
Yeah,
so I know their kids, their parents. I know when they died. I know how many people we've lost in our class.
Yeah.
It's real important to me. That's why I'm back here.
You know? And in your own words, what made the school unique?
They insisted on excellence. They didn't, you know, because it was here, a lot of the people that graduated from here are still doctors and pilots, and even though they went on to higher education, and they looked at entrepreneurship, and they also taught what they would call now, in Pisgah they call it distributive education, like block land, mechanics, and everything like that, so you could have a skill. Because nowadays, you know, having a degree is really subjective. You know, if you don't really have something that is tangible, like my son, I insisted that he became an anesthesiologist, and him and his wife both are, and he's over four hospitals now.
Wow!
But I raised him like a Marine. I don't know if you ever saw that movie called Lawyer and His Son with Robert Duvall, and it's a movie that's out, and his son said, "You never came to my graduation, you never helped me with this, you never helped me with that."
Yeah.
And I graduate top of my class, and his father turns to him and says, "You're welcome."
Yeah.
you know that?
Yeah.
And that's the way me and my son are. You know, it's like I was really hard on him. But nowadays, you know, unfortunately, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but I think the things are laid out too easy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, your lives are going to be so much more difficult because you're competing not with other people of education, but with computers.
Yeah.
You know, so your brain has to be 10 years ahead of what you're thinking about. So where we could say, hey, when I get out, I'm going to go be an auto mechanic. When I get out, I'm going to do this. You have to say, when I get out, where is technology going to be in 20 years? You know what I mean? So it's a lot more difficult.
I got you. And so what made you really want to get involved with this project?
I'll tell you, it's really, really easy. That green old shack right there is my grandfather's sister's house. That white house was my Aunt Della. The next one was the guy that married my aunt. The blue one right there is the lady that saved my life. She was Reverend Conley's wife. And you keep going around, and then you get around to the corner where the house is right on the street.
Yeah.
17 of us in that house.
Wow.
And with no bathroom. That's where I grew up. And so what I did was, my grandfather used to walk me over here all the time, and he would point out everybody in the graveyard. To this day, my mother's there, my grandfather's there, my auntie's there, and my uncle, all of the ones that were before me are laying right up on the hill. Yeah. And he was just telling me about all these people and what they had done for him. And this had closed down in 1965 is when they had what they call it consolidation is what the word they used. But it was really integration. We were the first bus people. We were busing. They used to pick us all up on the hill.
Excuse me for a second. Zeb is here with the generator.
Hey, man.
And he wanted to know if it would be, he said it would be best if we put it up here with the drop cords.
I don't care.
It might last noise up here.
I don't care what Zeb does. Zeb is the president of his generator and of his own mind. Do whatever you feel is necessary. How you been? good to see you, too.
Uh-oh, Bill.
No, it's okay.
Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good.
No, it's no pool. No tough.
No,
I got you.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah. Good to see you, Zach.
Yeah, man.
And when he would talk to me about those people, and he would always tell me that you should always do something to make life better for everybody.
Yeah.
And so I had always knew that I would come back and do something. I didn't know, and I heard that they had sold this.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually hitchhiked to California my first time.
Wow.
And back in 77, 78, and got out there and didn't work. So I came back and I bought a car and I drove back.
Yeah.
And I went into jewelry, became a gemologist. And then I started into real estate, started buying real estate. And we started developing projects out there. I actually bought apartment complexes. And I was doing things, and it was looking really good because I was doing inner city stuff and helping kids, and started a security company for the inner city. But it wasn't my home, and I didn't like that. I don't like you spend all, and you know I obtained some money, I met the guy that owned it before, and he had cancer. I asked him if he was ever going to sell it, and he said no, he didn't think he would ever sell it. And I said, if you ever do, just let me know. And his wife called Ms. Wanda Conley, and she found out he had died, and I flew back from Vegas, and they were auctioning it, and I bought it, and I thought, you know, what better place to put a community center? And it's not just for this community, because I'm not even doing it just for this building. It's a 20,000 square foot building on 7 acres, but the building is the least of my thing. This is going to cost me, you know, $3 to $4 million to do, but I want to do, like, see how the houses are there.
Gotcha.
I want to clean the community. Because when I grew up here, it was clean. It didn't have to be an expensive house, but everybody took care of everything.
Yeah.
So my thing is to restore pride in where you live. Because as a black child, we used to play down at the YMCA. And my thing was, we never could bring them back here because there was nothing here. So what would be a better thing than to have another race of people come to your community of something positive, and then you can go there and do something, and so then you have positive on both ends. It's like in New York, you go to Bed-Stuy and all these other places, it's negative. So they go outside of the community to play. I want this to be a place where everybody wants to come to and do something, you know, and it'd be positive. You know, that's what I want.
Definitely.
Her mother's the one that saved my life.
She did.
Yeah, so it's been it's really kind of a, you only are what you do.
Yeah.
Even God says that. Doesn't judge you on what you talk about, all those things. It's what you do. Your work is what he talks about. So I'm trying to leave a footprint, you know. And like I tell people, there's somebody will debate me on whether the property line is or do you own this. And I say, I don't really care. You can have it as long as you take care of it. That's all I care about. Yeah. If you want it, I'll give it to you. If you want to put something there, I'll let you have it. I don't care as long as you take care of it. So that's my whole thing, is to get people to say, it's all of ours. I didn't buy this because it's going to make me money. It's going to cost me money. So it's not like a financial windfall. Yeah. So I'm just trying to improve the life that I had a great life here.
Yeah.
I had a great life here. I really, really did. I mean, I wouldn't want it to grow up anywhere else in the world. I've been everywhere.
He's been all over the world.
Yeah, I have, and it's just, there is nothing like Western North Carolina, especially Canton and Asheville. People just don't believe it. But I started a business here just to prove people that it can be successful. And now I've got two. Now I've got this and the bus company, and I'm going to take those buses right there that you said. Those are my old buses that I took out of my tour company. And I'm going to paint them, and I'm going to chrome wheels them, you know, put some nice interior on, take the windows out of them. And they're going to be like buses that I could just drive people all over. And they'll just donate money. If you want to drive to Asheville, hey, maybe I'll have a bus run over there 3 or 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. And you just get on the bus, because there's nothing that takes you from Canton to Asheville. Yeah. If you want to go to a concert over there and you don't want to drive, worry about parking, take the shuttle bus that goes to Asheville. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I got you. And your other company you have, you said it's in busing as well?
Well, no. We own a music company where we tour, and I own, I have a real estate company. Yeah. I have jewelry. You know, I still supply diamonds and things like that to major jewelry department stores out of 6th Street in L.A. My family calls me the Jamaican. Because, you know, they just all Jamaicans have 7 jobs, you know.
Yeah.
But I've been so poor. I remember the first time I got, you know, those Fruit of the Loom underwear?
Yeah.
How they used to come in 3 packs?
Yeah.
I got 2 packs of those. That means I had a pair of underwear for almost a whole week. And it was like the biggest thing, man. It's in my drawer. I used to leave my drawer open just to look at them. You know? And so now I have, like, you know, but those little things like that. So I want the kids here to just, unfortunately, people, nobody takes pride in stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are like going to come up in a real crappy world. You know, I mean, they're getting ready to drop a nuclear bomb. It's just a real crappy world. And so it's like, if she's your friend and you've got friends, and just help one another, because it's the small circle of things that you do that makes a difference. And the more you do positive, then it goes out from there and out from there and out from there. This, when I came here 3 years ago, they were all sitting on the porch drinking and hating one another and just talking. Yeah. Now it's, you know, the kids have something to do, you know, and it's not even done. This is, I just clean the field and, you know.
So before you clean the field, was this?
It looked like that.
Gotcha.
Those, you couldn't even see it. The trees had grown all the way up to the thing and all the way here. So none of this. I have pictures of it. I can show up to you. Yeah. And you couldn't even see this place because there were blocks and trash and everything in front of this. The whole building was graffitied.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really, really nasty. And it was sad, because I knew that it was a place that should be respected.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the pictures. It's going to be beautiful.
In one of your interviews, we noticed that you called this ground sacred.
Yeah.
And we just were wondering
why.
Why?
You know, you're talking about the first generation of people after slavery that moved here and made a life. You know, my grandfather's father and everybody and all that you're talking about. Because everybody thinks, you know, slavery was a long time ago. Well, it wasn't that long ago. And even after slavery, you know, you didn't get equal rights till the 60s.
Right.
You know, so, and then after that,
it was
difficult. And I always tell people all the time when they say that, you know, you hear people say, you're playing the race card. Yeah. And I always say, if you have the whole deck and you give me one, then that's all I can do.
Yeah.
And a race card is really not a thing that you should ever run from. It's something that I don't like people to use it just as a crutch. But there is a consciousness that people should have, and that's on both sides. Because for me, I'll tell you this real quick story.
Yeah.
Do you know why Malcolm X's name was Malcolm X?
I do not.
The X stood for the unknown, like in math. See, all black people don't have a last name. We have slave names. Yeah. What's your last name?
Reed.
Okay. Well, it's not an African name. McDowell is an Irish name.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no. So we're the only race of people in the United States that took the slave owner's last name. So Malcolm X's given name or slave name was Little. So when you think about it, when you're cut off from your name and your food and your language, but not the Italians, not the Chinese, not the Native Americans, as bad as they were treated. All of these things. So what happens is you end up trying to find out who you are.
Yeah.
That's why this is sacred, because these people came here and set this is our home. This is what we do. They built this thing. That well right there.
Mm-hmm. Up on the hill?
That little little cement thing right there.
Yeah.
Where that ground is plowed right there. That was the first school.
Oh, wow.
It burned down over there, and they used to get their water from that well.
Gotcha.
Okay, and then when it burned, they used the church to go to school, and then they built this.
Wow.
So that's how. So for me, it was people that just gave their lives up. And this the football team here never lost a game.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Never. Yeah, they played there and over at the stadium, too.
Okay.
Yeah, they play different schools, and but they never lost a game, ever.
Wow.
So.
And so, just to go more in depth about the specific project, do you already have written down specific plans for what you're going to do inside and how you're going to remodel it?
Actually, we do. We hired a company called McMillan out of Asheville, and they've drawn up a perspective of it, and it'll have a studio. It have a gymnasium that's multi-purpose for shows and rent out of events, have drug awareness, cultural awareness. It's going to have it's kind of a sub cafe where you can get food and things like that.
Yeah.
And for you guys of your age, I told them I wanted a chill spot. I wanted people to be able to escape places and come and just do your homework and, you know, get on the computers that are really, really screened, you know, and with streaming of, so you can download free music down, you know, where you have a place to come to.
Yeah.
It's got a senior citizens place for people to come to. And it's also the one thing that I'm really, really and I've never talked about this on is for women of abused women and children.
Yeah.
My mother went through that. And so I want the women to have a place to come to and the kids, because we started a project in St. Louis called The River Runs. And not in The River Runs, I'm sorry, it's in L.A. But the one in St. Louis, I can't remember the name. But what happens is when a child is abused, first they go to a doctor. Then they move from the doctor to the police station. And from the police station to somewhere else. So the kid is traumatized like all these times.
Yeah.
So what we did was we built a building, and the kid goes one place and everybody comes to him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's a window, a two-way window, where the parents can watch what's going on. And so that's been real successful. A friend of mine named Valerie Sobel built a place in L.A. called The River Runs. And what she does is the river are these vans, and they go out and they find these homeless kids and drug kids, and they bring them to this one place.
Yeah.
And she makes everything run into that, where there's drug counseling and everything. So I took an example from that, you know. That's what I want to have happen here.
Gotcha. So it looks like it's really going to affect all parts of the community.
And beyond, I hope. Yeah. I hope it, you know, I have a friend also that owns a company. It's called House of Metamorphosis. And it's in San Diego, and her name is Beverly Monroe. And what happens is I've sent three people from here, friends of mine who had kids that were on drugs, and I flew them there. You know how much it costs for them to stay there? Nothing. She keeps them there as long as necessary. They eat, sleep, and drink everything right there on that property.
Yeah.
And those are the things, those are my heroes. I don't have heroes. I mean, I like people. I like Magic and all the other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the people like Bishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela, I mean, I've been in Mandela's house.
Wow.
You know, I've been to South Africa, where on that street in South Africa, it's the only two place in the world where two people who won the Nobel Peace Prize live on the same street, you know. So those are the things that move me. My grandfather is my biggest hero. I found his check probably 8 years ago for 2 weeks. And it was $150.
Wow.
And I found out that he had signed notes for people. And so they were garnishing his wages. And he never, ever talked about it.
Wow.
You know, so.
Powerful.
So I just want to, that's what I want to do.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that really sticks out to you that you would like us to put in this project?
You know, sometimes people want to see tangible things like, you know, in 3 years, you know, they don't really know how much work has gone into it. But a 501c3 in the state of North Carolina requires a lot of, and because I'm not, you know, because nobody can get paid. And so to find people to want to work for you for no money, that's, you know, so it's been hard to get people on board because they want to see all $5 million come in at once. But we're going to be doing concerts. Right now, we're tentatively scheduled for August 12th in the Asheville Civic Center with my wife. Tentatively scheduled Boys to Men. Mm-hmm. I may get a couple of them, you know, those rapper dudes, you know, and have them in there, you know, because I know a lot of those guys. And but something, and then there's going to be a tennis tournament that hopefully will be off the Asheville Racquet Club that we're looking at doing, and we're going to hopefully do a downtown concert in Kent. So
definitely, please let us know about that, and we'll try to put up posters and things at Western.
If there's anything we can do at Western Carolina, we are active in the History Club. We have all kinds of clubs that might be interested in helping you.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah. That'd be wonderful. Definitely. Well, you know, you guys, you have my number. I'll give you my personal number.
Because Western Carolina, they're always looking for the different clubs. They're required to do so much volunteer work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We haul the football team sometimes in the.
Oh,
yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Do you ever see them buses? WNC Travel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just rode one to Florida.
Was it bad? Did it have a bad time? That's my brother.
No, he ran over a stop sign at Disney World.
Oh, Jesus.
We actually thought it was hilarious.
God, that's my company. I own that company. I like to know when there's bad stuff that happens.
So. No, but it was really fun.
You had a good time?
We did have a, he was what, hilarious.
Was it Randy?
He was a big old guy.
I never know.
Yeah.
But no, he was actually very, very hilarious.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
We found it very comical.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, those are my buses. And
awesome.
Yeah. So if you ever need something like that, let me know.
Well, and if we can ever do anything to help get student involvement to help you, we're all about that.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. Really, really wonderful. You know, as long as I see this, then I got hope. You know, but every time I turn on the news, I know Donald Trump for a while. No, President Obama as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you have to really say about politics is everybody thinks they know it until they have to do it.
Right.
And what I've been positive about is that he's actually starting to realize this is a whole other process. And I'm just hoping that it doesn't before, because he has some really, really good ideas. Mm-hmm. He just needs to, you know, like this. Yeah. Everybody had the idea, but nobody wanted to act on it.
The implementation has got to have the work.
It's got to happen. So.
Definitely.
Well, we are super grateful that we really wanted to get Reynolds School on our...
Yeah. We also, we went around and looked at the building and...
I can let you look on the inside a little bit if you want. It's really kind of dangerous.
Let Tristan go.
Definitely. I don't know if you can see anything.
I'm going to stop the recorder. Should I keep it going?
Yeah. Don't stop the recorder. Maddie, I can't with my big heart.
Hey.
Hello. Have a baby voice.
My car.
Absolutely.
Tristan. Super
I'm okay. Wow.
Yeah, so it's gonna be gutted.
Is it okay if I take pictures?
Yeah, please. So it'd be good to have before. I got a lot of before and after. So this is the room, first, second, and third grade room.
First, second, and third grade?
That's what this was.
What was this?
Cafeteria.
Wow.
look at Lou.
Yeah.
That's the whole cafeteria right there. Wow. So what they would do is line you up on this wall right here.
Yeah.
And you went in and got your food and went and sat down.
Wow. And do you know why there's so many large garage?
Well, the guy that owned it before turned it into like a junkyard. So each one of these rooms was filled to the brim with crap.
Yeah.
Cars and junk and bricks. So I had to clean all this stuff out of here.
Wow.
But the building is solid. If you notice, it's done with block and brick.
Yes, sir.
So all you have to do now is just see how this is up here. This is all steel. So you just gut all these walls and do all the plumbing and the wiring and put the floor. Because if you look, you see how deep the hole is right there?
Yeah.
The floor is floated.
I gotcha.
So you don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
So everything hangs, that's how, see how those little joists over there on the wall?
Yeah.
That's how the floor sits up that high.
Wow.
So you just come in and take all this out, put the beams back in, and it goes all the way down.
It looks big on the outside and it's bigger on you.
Yeah, it just keeps going. And then I think this is the girls' bathroom right here. Boys, I don't know.
Yeah.
And this was a gym.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah. I'll try to get a little bit.
I did a play up there. I was like a bear.
You were a bear?
Yeah, I had stole somebody's pancakes or something. I remember that. My grandmother made, and I tripped over my feet.
Oh, wow.
But this was the main entrance right here. This was the vice principal's office and the principal's office right
And there, we noticed that there was a lot of side entrances and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, the last room on the outside was the wood shop.
I got you.
And the rest of it, that was the science building and so forth, the science room and so forth like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really
interesting. You're in high school, right? Didn't have to go anywhere. Just came through these two doors right here. You're in high school.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that this could be real fun. I mean, because in the arts and things like that, you see this really nice wood. You see these real beautiful floors in here and these walls, and they're going to have like video monitors that tell the history of different things. Mm-hmm. So when you walk in here, you know, you're always captured by something. You know?
Definitely. I'll have to stay connected. I would love to help with that.
It'd be great. Yeah. Let me give you my number.
Okay. Let's see.
You know, get it from Miss Conley.
Okay.
Yeah, just tell her to give you my number and call me anytime you want. If you have anything that you want to do or something that you want to do.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, I may have a card. Okay. Let me see if I have one in my hand. It's got my cell number.
Gotcha. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome.
And thank you for all the information. And
stay positive, man. Stay up. It's good stuff.
Thank you so much.
All right, God bless you.
Yes, sir.